This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Really in the process of buying my partner out. I had worked my way up to be a partner of his franchise, was going to buy him out.
Yeah.
And when, you know, him and I had just happened to go out to dinner. And he's a great guy. I love him to death. And we'd gone out to dinner and we were kind of celebrating the wins of all the years and everything else. But he looked at me and he said, Donnie, I'm truly grateful that you're my retirement plan. And when he said that, I know I was very grateful and was being very genuine in my response, saying I love doing it for him, this and the other. But when I walked to my truck, I went, oh, holy shit. I'm literally somebody else's retirement plan.
Yeah.
And that was the catalyst for me to jump out of my own and launch Success Champions and then immediately run it all straight into the ground because I had no idea how to be a business owner.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey, I'm Donnie Bovine, the founder of Success Champions, the podcast, the Facebook group, the magazine, the Badass Business Summit, and now the virtual networking groups. I'm excited to hang out today.
All right, Donnie. So thanks for coming on my podcast. I mean, we both have podcasts, so maybe I'll be a guest on your podcast at some point. But I know it took us a while to get in touch with each other, but maybe you want to go back and, you know, tell me a little bit about your background and your entrepreneurial stuff. I know you're a bit of a serial entrepreneur, you told me, and now all the great stuff you're doing with your coaching, your podcast, your magazine, all that stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting is I was not born an entrepreneur. I didn't start my own business until I was 40. Until that, and I never did the lemonade stands. I never did the
paper route when you were
young. Paper routes and all that crap. You know, people are like, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 3 years old. Right. Well, no, not really. Your dad took you around and your mom took
different.
You around. Right. You know, but in truth, I mean, for me, out of the Marine Corps, I spent, 20 years as a straight commission sales guy.
Right.
And, you know, it was September of 2017, when I finally decided I was tired of making everybody else wealthy, being a sales guy, that I jumped out of my
own. What industries were you selling in?
So the first industry I sold in was I took a small residential HVAC company, heating and air conditioning company, and I took them to a full commercial multimillion dollar corporation. Okay. I was recruited out of there to go help sell franchises for a pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. We sold franchises all over the U.S. Then 9/11 and all that happened, corporate downsizing, big buyouts. I got caught up in all that mess. Came back to Texas. I bartended for 2 years in that, in between all that.
I like bartending. I'm a graduate of the American Bartending School in Montclair, New Jersey.
Oh, good. That means you're unhireable and nobody wants you.
Right, exactly. I got no usable skills.
Right, right. When I remember bartending and people.
There's only five of us anyway in the class.
Yeah. Well, you know, people would come up all the time. They're like, I just finished bartending school. I'm like, great. Go wait tables. Work your way up and then you'll figure it out. You know, right. Just because you went to that school doesn't mean
you get a job automatically.
Right, right. And then, you know, I was actually hired out from behind a bar to go start a commercial printing division for a pretty good sized commercial printing company. Did that for 7 years. And we did all the printing. My accounts, you know, were Mary Kay Corporate, Home Depot.
Right. But it was sales too. I mean, you're a hired gun. Also. People bring in and grow their sales business. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. That particular stunt, they had a whole sales team and division, but digital printing was brought to the, was just being introduced to the world. And the old school guard didn't want to sell this new technology thing.
Right.
So Jane, who hired me, she's like, look, I need somebody who's a run gun, doesn't know anything about the industry to come sell this. So we tackled it on and I grew a little over $6 million, you know, book of business from zero doing that.
Yeah, and they all became dinosaurs and the printing business died.
Yep.
You were soaring. Yeah, of course.
Yep. And then, you know, then we had 9/11, and all that stuff was hitting and everything was changing again.
Right.
And I was looking for a new career, new chance, new something. And I stumbled into a company called Sandler Training.
Sandler's great. Yep.
I went to work for them as a sales guy and ultimately worked my way up to a partner of one of the franchises and was in the process and became, quote unquote, one of the top trainers in the world.
There's a guy near here named Danny Wood. I don't know if you ever met him.
I don't know Danny.
Danny's phenomenal. He's just great. Yeah.
I met a lot of the guys. You know, I kept myself as far as the network goes a whole lot because I just didn't give a shit about all the other people. But, you know, I was really in the process of buying my partner out. I had worked my way up to be a partner of his franchise, was going to buy him out.
Yeah.
And when, you know, him and I had just happened to go out to dinner and he's a great guy. I love him to death. And we'd gone out to dinner and we were kind of celebrating the wins of all the years and everything else. But he looked at me and he said, Donnie, I'm truly grateful that you're my retirement plan. And when he said that, I know I was very grateful and was being very genuine in my response saying, I love doing it for him, this and the other. But when I walked to my truck, I went, oh, holy shit. I'm literally somebody else's retirement plan.
Yeah.
And that was the catalyst for me to jump out of my own and launch Success Champions and then immediately run it all straight into the ground because I had no idea how to be a business owner.
Okay. That's an interesting experience. But that happens to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what we don't know.
I've learned in interviews and everything I've done that story is just so not told enough.
Right.
You know, because there's too many people out there saying being an entrepreneur is easy, you know. And I love telling people being an entrepreneur right now is like the new multi-level marketing.
Yeah.
You can be a millionaire overnight. Just start a job. Be an Instagram millionaire, whatever the crap is.
Right, exactly.
And it's just not true. And for me, you know, I spent 20 years as an employee.
Right. Yeah. Just because you were a salesperson and you're doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I can sell.
Yeah.
But I had no idea about accounting. I had no idea about operations.
No, all these people are mostly salespeople. They're not really entrepreneurs.
Right.
They're selling shit, you know.
Yeah. And then you get a great team behind you.
A lot of people do that. You know? Yeah. Make good income.
Yeah. And that's, you know, for me, and a lot of the journey has been a cool collection of fuck ups.
Right.
That we've
that's
learned
when you great, learn, right? You
yeah,
learn more.
We've learned great
up.
Lessons from right. Along the way. And, you know, then finding success and sharing those fuck ups to help the people who are coming up the ranks behind me and helping them shortcut the process to find success. And then we've just found a niche about bringing the right badasses together that what we call GSDs, your get shit done people.
I like that.
And you know, you put a collective group of those people together and badassery ensues.
Yeah, because you get a lot of energy in the room, right?
A lot
of people are, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the journey to here. And that's how we've created all the things that we've created and continue to create and continue to find success in.
All right. So let's talk more about that, about your world and the world you've created. And, you know, how'd you get started? Did you have, you started doing individual coaching and then it developed into bigger things or?
No, I was going to be the world's greatest motivational speaker.
There that, you that, go. That was exciting. It looks exciting, right?
Yeah, dude, they're on stage. Yeah, they're, you know, they're
Tony Robbins. Come on.
Absolutely. They're riling up the crowds. And that was me, man. Yeah. I really thought only problem is nobody outside of Fort Worth, Texas knew who the fuck I was. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, mom and dad were cheering me on. So I really wasn't prepared for the amount of work it was going to take to really break into that industry.
Yeah.
And in my head, it was, okay, I'm good on stage. I'm, you know, I can work a crowd. I can deliver. I didn't understand the business side of it. So okay. That's where it all started. And right. When I wasn't making that move fast enough to pay the bills, I started taking on anything. You know, I mean, you go back through my history. I mean, I've designed a couple websites. I've done some graphic design. I did some audio engineering type work for clients. You know, it was you say yes to whatever.
A mixed bag, right?
Yeah, of revenue come in. And it wasn't until I found podcasting. And I was doing some sales consulting and coaching and things in the mix up. But at the time, I was kind of just burnt out on training because I had been doing Sandler for 7 years.
Right.
And I was really trying, I think, partially find myself, but two, just to change the world up. And when, you know, two things happened. One, in January of 2018, I had to look at my wife and say, babe, we're about to lose everything. Because I'd suck so bad at business that I'd run it straight into the ground. And then she said a pivotal statement that got me moving. She told me to get off my ass and go sell something.
Right. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, right? Because she knew you're not that kind of person.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in April of 2018, I found podcasting. And podcasting was the catalyst to teach me business, which is just such an odd thing. But, you know, I had very high standards and expectations for myself of what I wanted to do with a podcast. And I really wanted to be one of the best in the world. And so I knew and do that, that I couldn't have a shit show. Right. And so I had to learn processes. You know, if I was going to interview some of the biggest names in the world, then I had to have my shit together. So it taught me processes, procedures. It taught me about hiring employees and there was just a lot of cool things that came along with it. Now, all the while I'm doing podcasting, I'm still doing business development training and consulting and those type of things. I've left the website crap behind and, you know, I'm moving forward with that, but this podcast is teaching me, you know, all the things I didn't know. And was interesting, as I'm teaching business development, people started asking me how I was able to scale my business. And in my mind, I hadn't fully broken through and understood that that's what I was doing.
Right.
And so I started teaching the concepts and the things that I was doing, and more people were buying into that because I was kept coming from the place of, well, let me tell you how I fuck this up. Right. And people were really starting to buy into that message. And that's really how Success Champions has come to be is, you know, I mean, Success Champions means to be the champion of your own success.
Right.
And that's how this whole thing's come about.
So the podcast, I haven't listened to all of them, but you do not, it's a motivational platform for you, right? Plus you're also interviewing people in the space, other motivational, successful people, whoever you pick.
Yeah. I mean, there's a hodgepodge mix of people. I mean, now because of the success of the show, I'm more selective on who I bring on.
Yeah, you can be my, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm chasing some authors down. I don't know if you know Mike Michalowicz.
I've had him on the show.
Yeah. So I chased him down. I think he thinks I probably have a love crush on him, but I chased him down. He lives in New Jersey and he came on a networking group that we did and I wasn't able to get him on the show. Too busy. Sent me his book. So after he spoke, I said, Mike, I got to get you on. So I'm chasing his girls. finally, he says, all right, fine. He's coming on in August.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So the cool thing you're going to like about Mike, he's a damn good dude. And that's what I've been fascinated most about most of these guys is how down to earth they are. And Mike's one of them.
Yeah.
Is with Mike, get him quickly to start talking about his philosophy on business. It's brilliant. I love it.
Well, he only gives you like 25 minutes anyway. So
Yeah. I mean, so you got to go.
Exactly.
Well, then I won't tell you how long I had him on my show.
I'm sure it was more than that. He's gotten selective at, you know, how many he has it down. He knows how many emails he gets every minute and who deals with them and how long it's going to take. So he, you know, his time's very precious. And I hope that I get to that stage where listen, I only got half an hour and then I got to go.
You know, and I think for a lot of people, sometimes it's it's in the how we reach out. One thing that I learned from Sandler was a phrase that I hadn't learned prior to going into it. It's this idea of equal business stature.
Yeah.
And you know, if I was going to go sell a major corporation on sales training, there's two things I had to get through. One, who the fuck is this guy standing in front of me? Right. Two, is he the guy that can handle the egos that I have as salespeople?
Right.
And if I couldn't hit those two things, then why the hell am I there?
Right, because nobody's going to listen to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
As good as Sandler's stuff is, because it's great stuff. If they don't, you don't have the rapport with them, you might as well be talking Japanese.
Absolutely, 100%. And so I just learned that, you know, two things. Like when I went to Marine Corps boot camp, my brother looked at me, who was a Marine for 24 years, and before I went in, he goes, I want you to remember one thing. Every morning, those drill instructors get up and put their pants on the same way you do, one leg at a fucking time.
Right.
And then he says, well, if that doesn't work, imagine every morning they get up, drink coffee, and take a big old shit too. And I was like, all right, cool.
No, everything's perspective, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, but on the podcast now, I mean, I've had some crazy fun guests. Like one of the last couple of shows, I had a comedian on there, and I about pissed myself laughing at her jokes because she's got the vagina song. And
who's the comedian?
Wendy Mayberry. She's out. And she's really just up
like
and coming.
Like more of a local person.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's making the tours and everything. But one of my clients introduced me to her and she had me laughing within 5 minutes of being on a Zoom call. I'm like, okay, we got to do this on a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people that you're like, at first you'd be like, well, why would I have a comedian? But if they have a good personality and they bring a lot of energy, you want to spend time with them, you know? That's what's fun about it.
Yeah, and I had another dude that literally drew my caricature.
While you were
as part of his reach out to get on my show.
Nice.
I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. You're coming on. Yeah, he had an interesting story too, but I'd never had anybody write their, you know, draw a caricature. So that was fun. And I had a gal on not too long ago, Dana Ferrant, that is a former dominatrix. That is now a business coach out of Canada. and, you know, she's teaching, you know, the mindset and things she learned going through some shitty fucked up moments in her life.
Yeah.
And how those apply to business and grow. And she's doing some amazing things. She shared a stage with Mike McAllowitz, you know?
Yeah.
So it's the ability to hear and that person you want to talk to and go, okay, we can pull value out of that so that the listeners actually can learn something from this while I dive into their world and probably talk too much during my own interviews, supposed to be interviewing them, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
But it's a fun conversation because I'm fascinated with the mindset of what people go through to find success.
Right.
Because it's something I had to learn as I built my business.
Sure. And they're learning from you. I mean, everything's an experience, right? If we don't fail, I think when we take the risks to be what you said, badass, we're going to fail. It's just a question of what we're going to fail at because nothing ever always works. You try to push the envelope, but then you fail on something else that they didn't ask you about. But you learn, and that's part of the journey.
Yeah, well, I only want to twist that a little bit because instead of just failing, I want you to fail better.
Right. And you learn, right, from your failure.
Totally. I mean, I want people to actually go into things to break it.
Yeah, right.
So like the biggest, riskiest thing we've ever done in our business is we rented out a local convention center here in Fort Worth, and we were putting on the Badass Business Summit. I was flying in 12 speakers from around the US to teach business development from unique perspectives. So it's like how to get on podcasts, how to write your books, right. And you know, and all these cool things.
A couple of days or something?
Yeah, it was 3 days.
Wow.
You know, and we'd thrown a good chunk of change in this thing. Well, that was slated for April 3rd, 4th, and 5th of this year.
Bingo.
So if you want a great lesson on how to not plan for
right.
virus thing, you know,
could have made so it into a virtual summit, but it wouldn't have been the same thing.
No. So I wasn't going to virtual summit thing yeah. because I know me, you yeah. get me for about an hour. You try and keep me on a video for 2-3 hours. I'm out.
Yeah. Can you do it for 2-3 days? No way.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
it's
and keep, dude, people are distracted. They're getting up, taking, yeah, it's a mess. So, we postponed it. Till September.
Trying to fall. Yeah, the September probably be safe, I think.
Yeah, unless there's an uptick. Well, Texas is open, so.
Yeah, but aren't you guys getting a little bit of a spike in cases or not?
Go look at the CDC website. No, it's news propaganda.
Yeah.
I'm
the only thing that matters is hospitalizations. The numbers are going to go up as you test more, so that's not really.
Of course.
That's artificial, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a dangerous thing, but as some of my Navy corpsman buddies have told me, they're like, Donnie, it's really, really simple. Of course we're going to have a resurgence of COVID. It's the fucking flu.
Right.
It's going to come back.
Right.
You know, and they also pointed out that damn near everybody in the world's been exposed to it at this point.
Right.
Because you know your dumbass went to Walmart when you were supposed to stay home because you needed that carton of eggs and milk or whatever else.
Yeah, so, of course. And somebody next to you didn't have a mask on.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. So, but in doing that summit, we came up with the idea because of the Facebook group. And a lot of business we build is from our Facebook group, also called Success Champions.
Okay.
And we do this thing every Friday called Champions Happy Hour, where I sit with a glass of rum and just rant. Sometimes I bring on guests but for the most part, I just talk about whatever pops up. And it's I crack myself up sometimes and we just have a good time. And they love to bust my chops because I'm a ball busting guy. So if you're going to be around me, you better have thick skin. And they just love to throttle me. It's just more fun because they can only type their responses and I can be wittier because I got the microphone.
Right. You got the mic. Right. Exactly. That's very funny.
Yeah, you know, so it's fun. But during one of those, they started, and this was the end of last year, they started saying, hey, we should do a big Success Champions get-together. Get all of us that are hanging out, follow the brand, the podcast, the magazine, and let's do a get-together. And that's what ultimately led up to doing the Badass Business Summit. And
okay,
when I decided to do the summit, it was one of those things of, holy shit, as a company, we've not done anything this big. You know, this is serious, real deal stuff. I mean, I'm literally renting out an entire convention center. You know, this is not playing small anymore. This is, you know, really making a dent in the world. And I had several people advise me against this. They're like, you know, you should go attend events, not create your own. And I'm like, fuck that, because then I got to go follow somebody else's rule book.
You got an audience, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got people that are into we'll build our own. And so, when I put my team together and said, we're going to do this, they only had one rule. And then the one rule is, if you have an idea, let's try it. Let's break it and use the good shit to apply it to the next part.
Right.
And so we literally went into it and we tested different programs with different things, different ideas, different marketing, and everything with the purpose of breaking it.
Right.
Because we knew if we didn't fuck some shit up, there was no way we were going to figure out the magic of how to put all this together.
Right. And it'll happen when you're on stage. And
yeah, totally.
Happen in the middle of the conference and go, shit, I wish we thought about it differently. Isn't there one of the tech companies that does that? I don't know if it's Google or Microsoft. They invent something. They come up with one department, develop something, and then they send it over to another department. Okay, break it.
Probably. It sounds like something Google's do. I know one of the most fascinating things that I love about Google is they got the 10-minute creative time. So like 10 minutes out of every day, you get to work on whatever you want.
Right.
As long as it ultimately is like something to benefit Google with no constraints, no rules, just figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
It's creative thinking. Know? Absolutely. So you built the company. So the podcast was really the first platform where you were creating content and putting out your message. And then you started building all the parts around that.
Yeah, the Facebook group came next, and what's interesting is the Facebook group was a fluke. I was looking to find other people that were going through the same shit that I was going through. Okay. Right. Because I didn't know where to go for entrepreneur help. I didn't know who to talk to about business. I mean, none of my family had been business owners, entrepreneurs, anything like that. So,
right.
You know, this was all right, Donnie, figure it the fuck out. And, you know, God love the family, but if you've got family members that have never owned a business, they're going to give you advice, whether you like it or not.
Right. But it's not good.
It's not good advice right. Most times. And so I created a group literally to try and bring people together that were going through the same shit. Problem is I'm not one to sit in an audience. So as, you know, I was building the group and I started putting out content to get engagement going, everything else, it just started growing. And everything about the business has come from that Facebook group. I mean, we launched the magazine because they were asking for more content. And okay. When the team brother, came to me, right? Yeah, well, and it's
like a think tank almost.
Almost. People. It really is. It really is. But, you know, the team came to me and says, okay, they're asking for more content. I'm like, okay, let's put out more content. I'm like, no, you're not going to be able to handle the amount of content. We're not Gary Vee. I'm like, fair. So one of them suggested doing a magazine. I'm like, who the fuck reads a magazine? Are magazines even a thing anymore? And we happen to find this thing called issue.com, which creates electronic magazines.
Oh, wow.
So there's not even a printed version of this. I mean, you can order right. copies.
Yeah.
So we launched a magazine on Issue and it fucking took off. I think the success behind that is we knew specifically who we were targeting and we knew the content they were asking because my group was telling me. And so we geared the whole magazine to small business owners to help them do the business development side of their business. And we had writers coming out of the woodworks that wanted to be published and the content and every piece of content comes from the Champion Success Champions group. So they write the magazine.
Right, we just say, it must be hard for you to come up with content all the time, but if you don't have them contributing.
No,
what if Steve Ulshra does his podcast magazine? Maybe that's how he does his. It's all electronic.
He's got a bunch of people that are specialized in different categories. So very similar. The difference being for Steve is he's just tasked people to own a category and then it's up to them to go find the content.
Got it.
So if somebody's got the dad's podcast, category, then that person probably better have a dad's database of people that they can reach out to.
Right.
So there's a little bit more heavy lifting on his part to get people to write content on there. I'm a firm believer in, build the audience base and then let them tell you what they want and then build straight to that.
So it's issue.com is the website you use to put it together?
Yep. Yep. And it's the site we upload it to. Now I have an entire creative team, editorial team.
Yeah, of course. That just produces the thing. Yeah. It's almost like your printing company without printing.
100%. And so we get it uploaded and it's digital, right? So you can put all your links in there. You can put videos in there.
Yeah, it becomes an interactive book. Those are much better. Yeah, absolutely. I made a note about the Facebook group too, because you told me that last time we spoke and I didn't do anything with it. So.
Well, what the hell?
I got it. Yeah, I have. I actually have a meetup group with 60 or 70 people in, so I probably can get that started. Yeah, because I would
highly recommend, at least at this point in time, until Facebook changes things up eventually, man, put them in a Facebook group because you've got a captive audience.
Right.
We've still put out a lot of content in the group, but it's easy content. I mean, I can just ask a random ass question and I'm going to get a ton of people coming in there and asking and engaging. And like today I asked, okay, what's the thing you geek out on that you hardly ever tell anybody?
Right.
And you learn a lot about people. You got people that are Civil War reenactment people. You got people that are, into cars. One gal, she's not a sommelier, whatever that wine thing word is. I can't say.
Sommelier.
Sommelier. That's right. It.
Yeah. She's a wine connoisseur.
And she was walking us through how do you drink out of the different wine glasses.
It's cool. So how many people are in your Facebook group now?
So there's a little over 1,000. We just hit there.
Nice group.
And I had one kind of goal with the Facebook group. I wanted 1,000 true fans.
Yeah.
Cause that was, I forget what book that came out of. And, we just hit that and we've built a pretty damn good sized company, out of,
and you promote that all through your podcast. How do you get members of the group.
You know, a lot of times it's the members inviting their friends and family and whatnot. And we, of course, promote it on the podcast. We promote it in the magazine. You know, if I get 2 seconds on a Zoom call with somebody, they're going to hear about it, you know.
Right.
And it's funny to me. People are like, I'm not on Facebook. I'm like, oh, why?
It's like saying I don't have plumbing in my house.
Yeah.
I
mean, right? And they're like, because it's the feed's horrible. I'm like, that's your fault.
Right. What does that have to do with Facebook?
Right. I'm like, you know, if you don't want to see that shit, don't click on this shit. Take, right. You can totally tell Facebook exactly what you want to see. And same thing with any platform. You know, it's funny to me when people are like, oh, that, but, or the other one I get is there's no business on Facebook. I might beg to differ on that a little bit.
How many people are on Facebook now? 4.3 billion or something
right,
like that?
Right.
Yeah, you know, there's no business on Facebook. That's why they're not making a lot of money.
Right, right.
It's pretty funny.
So, but yeah, I, you know, we run a couple of private groups, have, you know, a couple hundred members in each one of those, but it's all about having a captive audience that are just championing what you do. I mean, right. When you got those true fans, I mean, I've got fans that are so amazing. No matter what we put out, they're the first ones in line to buy, you know, they
right.
got
of course. It, you, yeah. you know, champions and for your cause. That's what you need, right?
Absolutely. And that's the second part of the Success Champions brand as a whole is how are you creating champions of you? How are you creating people that are going out touting your name, your brand, what you're into and everything you do? And, you know, people have asked me why my group's not this 15, 20,000, whatever else. I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to open up to the masses.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSight Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSight. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSight and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
I want the real people that are into what we're doing.
Right.
We'll grow at the rate we're supposed to grow.
Yeah, of course. You want to get the right people in the right place, right?
Yeah, totally. Because I've got a couple of friends that do own some large groups. And one of them, we were talking the other day, he's like, dude, my group's got 16,000 members and I hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's filled full of a bunch of people that just aren't into what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just join for the heck of it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So what about, let's talk about some of the things that you teach and believe and you know, put out there for I guess your audience is, you know, obviously mostly entrepreneurs or small business owners.
Yeah,
those kind of things. So advice for the masses out there that hopefully absolutely. Masses are listening. I don't know.
So for your two listeners, I'm kidding. you know, I have a personal mission in life, and I want to change the way sales is done. I grew up in the era of the Zig Ziglars, who I love, the Grant Cardones, who I care less about.
Brian Tracy,
all those guys. And the problem with all their world, there's nothing wrong with any of them, but they all grew up in this kind of space of my money is in your pocket, right? get the deal done at all costs type of mindset and everything.
Right.
And if you do any of that shit nowadays, you're going to get your teeth kicked in.
Yeah, people see right through you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So we are long past the age of hardcore salesperson.
Right.
We are in this total age of relationship transactional sales, and we're really trying to change how people are approaching sales, because I truly believe, and part of it's based off the Sandler philosophy, because I love a lot of things about it, but for me, it comes down to really that, you know, sales is nothing more than a damn conversation.
Right.
It just happens to have an outcome. And if you put anything more into that, you're going to become the grease ball.
Yeah, well, that's right. Isn't that what people think of salespeople? Like trying to trick you into buying something you don't need or don't want. And that's not really what real sales is.
No, no, dude. I'm like Miracle on 34th Street. When right. I sit across from somebody, I'm like, no. You don't need my shit. Right. You need, you know, Mike's right. stuff, Mitch's stuff, Bob's stuff, yeah. you know. And
go giver philosophy, right?
It's somewhat. Bob Berger's good guy.
Yeah. He's coming on my podcast too.
Is he?
Two good. Authors now.
Look at you. They're coming up in the world.
You know, I got to have some goals to strive towards. He was easier than Mike, though. I didn't have.
Yeah, Bob's a lot more easily approachable.
Right.
I think it's as Bob's getting more into his twilight years, I think he's slowing it down a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just listening to Go Giver Influencer, the fourth
good
one.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off the
No, topic. You're good. But I think that if people understood that a sales conversation means that two people should be able to sit across from each other and both walk away from that conversation better off.
Right. Yeah, giver's gain, right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing to me how so many people fail because they're worried about how they're perceived in a sales process. Because let's face it, nobody likes to be sold to.
Nope. And nobody likes to be a salesman. I'm not a salesman. Yes, you are, because you wouldn't be making money if you weren't.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so we're really trying to change the ugly face of sales. And we've even gone so far as to really get people to understand that there's a huge difference between business development and sales.
Right. Yeah.
Business development is all that shit you do to get actually into the sales conversation.
Right.
That's sales part of it. The rest of it is business development. And that encompasses right. your social media, your podcasting right. crap.
Content, education, content, relationships.
Networking, everything. Right. And that's all the stuff you do. And what's funny is once you get people to understand that the business development side of the thing is really their only problem. Because how many times have you heard somebody say, you know, if I could just sit across from them, they'd buy from me. I right. close 90% of the deals once I sit across. I'm like,
right.
You don't have a sales problem. You have a business development problem. It's because you're just not doing the shit you should be doing to get right. where you want to go.
Yeah. You're skipping some steps, right?
Yeah, totally. And and it's funny because as you start changing the way people start thinking about how they're growing their business, and I'm like, dude, you can go on LinkedIn and comment on somebody else's shit. Right. You can send a private message and get conversations going. Oh, my God. You can go to a networking event once they open back up again. You can go to a networking event and meet some people. Holy shit. You can go to a conference and have all your ideal clients there. You know, there's just so many things that you can do to get the conversations going.
Right.
Quit saying that you don't like sales because you actually love the business development side of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just got to double down on the things that you really enjoy and you're going to find success at. But
and
most
I think
people
can find the way to do that makes them comfortable. Like you don't have, it doesn't have to be an uncomfortable thing, building relationships and putting out the content and doing all, you can find ways to do it that you're comfortable. Not everybody's comfortable going on a mic like we do and do a podcast. Sometimes they come on the podcast, I'm sure for you too. They're nervous. Like they're on live radio and it's like, listen, we're fine. You know, I'm in my office and you're sitting at your desk. It's fine.
I mean, I don't even have pants on at the moment. So
I have on today, but just because I'm in the office, usually I'm home, no pants. But yeah, and that's the truth about it. But I think that's one of the problems is that people are forced to do things a certain way. And well, you have to call them and dial for dollars.
Totally. And I think that's the second half of it for me is, you know, the 20 years of a sales guy. You act a certain way, you looked a certain way because that was how you had to sell. I mean, I've sold millions upon millions of dollars over the years, and you're not getting into a multi-million dollar sale by being a punk ass kid.
Right.
You know,
no way.
Right. So
those techniques are not going to work.
No. And, but the problem I had is because I was this persona badass sales guy, my clients didn't get to meet who I really was.
Right.
So my deals became very transactional early on. Right. It was, okay, Donnie sold us. Cool. I'd pass him off to the team and I'd go on to the next one, you know?
Yeah.
And, but the next time somebody else came in with a better deal, better sales pitch, I lost the clients. It took me a long time to finally wrap my head around that. Look, if me and this person are gotten to the point where we're going on family vacations together, we're, you know, really getting up. Dude, when that other salesperson comes in, I'm going to at least get the phone call.
Donnie's my guy. I don't give a shit how much cheaper it is. Exactly.
And
so what made you come to that conclusion? Did you remember when you kind of started realizing, wait a second, this doesn't work for me? What changed your belief system?
Yeah. So I had a very large tech company that I was doing commercial printing for.
Okay.
And they were $1 million a year account for me. And I've been doing, you know, printing for them for a couple of years at this point.
Okay.
And my main contact there that bought all the printing through me called me up and said, hey, I just took a new job for this other company. It was this college development company. They literally built universities. And she goes, I'm taking you with me. I'm going to need a lot of printing over there. I'm like, cool. So I'm like, great. Now I'm going to have two big ass accounts, right? You know, so she moves over to this other company and she immediately, and almost within 24 hours of her starting there, we took over all their printing.
This was like a construction company where they did build.
Yeah, they universities? Built universities. You know, excuse me, they built the dorms of the universities.
Ah, okay.
And so there was just a lot of things in there. I learned more about building anything than I ever cared to know.
Right, probably.
So she took me with me, and that was really, really cool. However, she was the only person I knew in the first account. In that first technology account, she was the only contact I had, the only person I dealt with. So when she left, you know, we had several orders still on the books, but, you know, I didn't know who to contact with. So she made a few introductions for me. They brought in this new person, and that new person did what she did when she moved over to that construction company, brought her people in.
Right. That's what happens.
Right. And I went, oh shit.
Right.
I just lost this account. I got this account. But so now my initial moves going after that large deal was to go cocky mode. I'm like, hey, I've been doing your printing for a couple of years. I'm excited to keep continuing that relationship going. What POs are you going to send my way? And she pretty much looked at me. She goes, who are you?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And what do we do with you? And one of the last things I remember she said, the gal that took over her spot said to me that meeting was, she goes, don't worry, you'll be our second choice. And so I instantly went from a million dollar account to nobody on that deal. And a lot of what happened to me in that moment was, holy shit, I went in thinking I already had the business. I went into it thinking that this was mine and I was such a badass. So, and it took me about 9 months to win that deal back.
Oh, you did get it back eventually.
Eventually. But it was because I finally was wrapping my head around that I had to get to know these people and carry on.
If you had relationships with multiple people,
yeah,
wouldn't have got, right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like the funniest dumb move I ever did in sales is when I landed Mary Kay Corporate as a client selling commercial printing. I, on a cold call, had got to meet the guy who ran their internal print shop, right? And good guy. And he brought me in and he kind of laughed when I came in because he knew I was green as hell as a sales guy. And so he a little bit took me under his wing with show me his print shop.
Okay.
And I said, is there a chance I could ever get more of the Mary Kay business? And he said, absolutely not. You know, you're not getting in here. And I'm like, well, cool. Would you be okay just introduce me to some of the other people in the company? He goes, oh, sure. So he introduced me to some people in marketing. Some people in marketing introduced me to some legal people. And, I, you know, I started slowly infiltrating, you know, Mary Kay as a whole.
Right.
Well, here's the dumb thing I did. I literally went to the front desk reception in Dallas, Texas. They have this huge skyrise. And the little gal who ran the desk there, she scheduled all the conference rooms. And I said, hey, I'm Donnie with, you know, the company I was with at the time. And I said, I'd like to schedule out one of your conference rooms. She goes, oh, what's it for? And I said, well, I'm bringing in this person from marketing, this person from the print shop, this person from accounting, this person from operations, all these people I'd met. And I said, I'm bringing them into a meeting. She goes, okay, well, we can do that. But I was name dropping the entire time. I was name dropping vice presidents of the company. Right. And so she schedules this room.
Well, she thinks it's a Mary Kay meeting. You know.
Yeah. Dude, she literally sends an email off for me to all these people, let them know. And she went through all their calendars because she could see it.
Right.
And said they need to be at this meeting. I called the vice president of my company, Jane, and I said, and we took one of the directors of operations, Dan. I said, hey, we've got an appointment at Mary Kay Corporate. They're like, how the hell did you get that? And I said, well, I'll tell you later because I didn't want to tell them the stupid thing I was fixing to do. And we drove 45 minutes because we live in Fort Worth to get to Mary Kay Corporate. And as we get there, we're setting up the room to do our presentation. And, you know, I knew what was fixing to happen, but my boss and the director of operations had no clue what they were about to sit
in.
Nor did the attendees, right?
It's a great story, by the way.
So literally everybody comes in. I've got like VPs of their, you know, legal counsel, VPs of marketing, accounting, operations, and they're all come in. And then here I am. I'm shit.
But they're all your friends. You know them all.
I know them. They know me, but they have no idea why they're all sitting in this room. Right. And so Ann, who was vice president of marketing for Mary Kay, looks at me and she goes, Donnie, what are we doing here?
You knew you'd get that question at some point, right?
Yeah. And I said, guys, I got to be honest. I duped you a little bit and brought everybody in here. And everybody started almost getting on the edge of getting pissed.
Right.
Because now I'm on the verge of wasting their fucking time.
Right.
And I said, okay, look, here's what I know. You guys have 650,000 Mary Kay reps across the world. Here's what you're currently paying for business cards. For each one of these reps. And the time they were paying like $45 a person to get business cards for 650,000 people across the world.
A lot of money. Right.
And I said, what if we could do that, but print it on demand and change it up? And I went from the VP of marketing, Ann, who really loved me, to get on the verge of being pissed off to going, wait a minute. And she could see her, you know, start doing the numbers in her head. And the accounting guy started piping in how much of a cost. Legal's like, what would that? And all of a sudden, they're talking to each other. Like, we're not even there of what this would do. And we walked out with a PO for $50,000, which isn't a lot of money. Right. But it's how we started in with Mary Kay. And I remember sitting in the car with Jane and Dan. And Jane goes, you're an asshole. And she never cussed. And I said, why am I an asshole? She goes, you literally almost ruined the reputation of our company, the brand. But this was a stupid, ballsy move. Well done.
Right.
And it was one of those things. And I don't know if I would do it again, you know, type of deal.
It just kind of happened and you went with it.
Went with it. And it was a crazy idea and it worked. And, you know, Mary Kay ended up becoming almost a $4 million account for the company over a year.
Well, the girl at the front desk could have shut the whole thing down, right?
She would have been totally.
Like, I don't know who the fuck you are. I'm not.
Right. What?
Who the hell do you know? Let me call him first, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it was that entire idea of getting to know people, making them friends, you know, understanding what works. That allowed me to penetrate as far as we did in there. And then, you know, I kind of cooked not the crazy philosophy of bringing all the different people into a meeting type idea, but the idea of the more I can pour into people and I understand that Sally, her husband's name is Jim, you know, they have two kids, one's in college, one's, you know, their fuck off that hasn't figured out life yet. And now you got things to connect with. You got things to talk about.
Yeah, that's relationship selling.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. And it's a sticky relationship.
And what I love in the big level of their sales like that, and we can bring it back to the small business too, but in the big level sales like that, somebody's always got the business, right? And when it came out to bid day, if you weren't the one getting a phone call saying, hey, the two other vendors are kicking your ass right now on pricing and everything else, you weren't getting the job.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and small business, to bring it back to kind of our worlds and where we're at, is, you know, you got to dive into people and really get genuinely curious about who they are.
Right.
Where they come from. I mean, one of my favorite ways to start off any sales conversation is literally, hey, Mitch, tell me your story, man. How did you get here?
Right.
And let them open up to you,
right.
You know, and it's amazing how that will blossom into a beautiful conversation.
Of course.
You know, because but you got to be genuinely interested in somebody. You can't fake this shit.
Yeah, no, not at all. That's why the podcast works, because I don't prepare. You just spilled your whole life story here. It was great all hearing all the stories, because I like what, you know, everyone's life is interesting, not always to the person who went through it. And you're like, you know, I have people that I've interviewed and I interrupt them. I say, wait, you did what? And they're like, yeah, it was no big deal. We just went over. I'm like, no, it is a big deal. It just wasn't a big deal to you.
Right.
I'm sure you didn't think about that meeting, because you would have probably canceled the meeting if you thought about,
oh, of course,
holy shit, what did I just do? Like,
well, I mean, and to put it that just in a little bit more perspective, dude, I was like 6 months into working for this printing company.
Oh, you had just basically started with them.
So this was
easy come, easy go, right? Yeah. 6 months ago.
You know what? I may have been about a year and a half, because
you were there for a little while.
Right. A little while, you know, in there, but still, you know, I'm still green in this industry, figuring this thing out.
Right.
And you know, but I think a lot of times it's the shit that's going on between our ears.
Right.
That keeps us from doing the things.
No
we should
question
be doing.
About it. Yeah. You know? There's no, you said that earlier. It's definitely
between
your ears. Yeah.
John Gordon on the podcast, and he said something that I'd never heard before, that was great. He said it was in one of his books. I wish I could give
you. Who's John Gordon? I don't think I've
He runs several extremely large companies, and he just broke into the speaking game about a year back, and a very, very wealthy gentleman, good guy, down to earth as hell, several New York Times best-selling books.
John Gordon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the John Gordon Company, I believe is what it's called. But what he said was, you need to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Because when we listen to ourselves, and I have a book that's fixing to come out that I'm co-authoring with a gal named Laura DeFranco, who you should have on your show. She's
okay,
a badass.
Great. Sure.
But Laura and I, we do a mastermind together. We have a bunch of healers, people that are chiropractors and whatnot, that don't know how to do the business development side of things on. So we do some cool things to teach them the business development side of things. And in there one time during one of our sessions, we were talking about, you know, what happens between someone's ears. And I said, you know, what happens is people get miserable. And as they get miserable, misery likes company. And then you start doing this thing called misery stacking, where you start looking for misery in everything.
Sure.
And Laura goes, fuck that. I don't want misery.
What's the word? I'm losing the word, where you sabotage yourself.
Self-sabotage. That's totally right. What you're leading to, right?
Yeah.
And Laura goes, fuck that. I don't want to freaking misery stack. Let's joy stack. Let's start celebrating the wins and the good shit and everything going. I said, oh shit, Laura, that's our book.
Right.
So we literally just finished writing it. It's in editors and everything now, but it's the idea that you can in a moment change how you're talking to yourself, take actions based on how you're talking to yourself, and flip the script to get out of the self-sabotage.
Right.
And we walk them through the three parts of that. But that's back to kind of John Gordon's point, is when you talk to yourself, and I look at it this way, is imagine a baseball player. If a baseball player in the major leagues is batting 300.
Right.
And that's damn good, right?
Yeah.
That means 10 times up the bat, he's getting on base 3 out of 10 times.
Right.
Do you think that son of a bitch, when he's walking to the plate, goes, oh my God, don't let this be one of the seven.
Right.
Don't let this be.
Of course
no, not. That dude's like, fuck this.
This is always one of the three.
Always. Yeah. I'm going to knock this shit out of the park. And that's the flip in the script. It's how are you talking to yourself versus listening to the things going on in your head? Because most of the shit that you're listening to in your own head is false truths, right? They're not real shit. So you're literally changing how you're communicating with yourself, which comes down to the basis of everything. If you don't like yourself, nobody else will, you know?
Right. But that's really what you teach, right? It's about changing your perspective and changing the way you look at things and changing the way you think about what you do. Cause look, we're all guilty of that. Our defense mechanisms are, you know, I don't want to fail. What if I fail? You don't look at it like, well, what if I succeed? Well, that would be great, but nobody thinks that that's possible. So they talk themselves out of it.
Totally. I mean, what kept me from running my business totally in the ground and losing it all was I was more worried about how people would have saw me as a failure.
Right. Sometimes that does motivate people.
Right. Yeah. So I was, you know, fear of people seeing me as, and like, oh my God, Donnie failed. You know, that drove me harder than anything else. Of course. Which I still think is funny to me, you know.
But, you know, that's not true for everybody, because if you look at yourself and the personality and you're in the military, I mean, you're a driven guy. So when you get to the point where you're failing, I think somewhere in the back of your mind, you're like, fuck this, I'm not failing. And a lot of people can't do that. So I think that's what they get attracted to you with, because you're infectious and your whole, you can be bad. You know, you motivate people who can't motivate themselves. You can motivate yourself, or you wouldn't have got to where you are.
100%. Well,
sometimes you got to get real down before you turn around and say, fuck, you know, you really get pissed.
Yeah. And that I agree with. I think everybody kind of has, and it's more
a breaking point or whatever.
Right. Well, it's more complicated than a comfort zone, right? Because people can't wrap their head around a comfort zone totally. But it's this idea that we have kind of this natural bubble. So let's put it on a scale of 1 to 10, right? So 1 means you absolutely, you know, suck at life. You know, you're scum of the earth. 10 means you're kicking ass at life. I think most people, if they were rating themselves on this 1 to 10 scale, seeing themselves in this kind of 5 to 7 range, right?
Probably right.
And so what happens is, long as they stay in this 5 to 7 range, you know, their world is comfortable. It's good.
Right.
But when
not
they
a lot
start
of risks, not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot of risk, not a lot of big movements, of you know, everything's just kind of ebbing and flowing. Right. But when life starts to suck and now they're feeling, you know, maybe a 4, okay, maybe now I feel a 3. Oh shit, I'm feeling like a 2. Fuck you. Let's do everything to get back up to 5.
Right.
Right? And then they push right back in there. And the same thing happens to people is, okay, I'm getting a little success. I feel like a 7. I feel like an 8. Oh my God, I almost feel like a 10. Hold on. I'm good, but I'm not that good. Let me, that's the self-sabotage.
Yeah, I don't want to get knocked off. Let me knock myself off, right? Back down to where I'm safe. Yeah, well, that's what life's all about, staying safe. Look, there's a lot of people get down to a 2 and they're depressed and they need help and they can't get out of it themselves. That's for a lot of people. So that's why your message is received so well.
I think so. I think it's as one of my clients told me, is I'm the punch in the face they needed.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
Because you hear a lot of people say authenticity, raw, blunt truth, all these things. And I think people really misconstrue what's said by that. For me, I have a talent of seeing what's going on in people and where their shortcomings they see in themselves are.
Yeah.
Because they were my shortcomings. They were the shit that I was going through, and I coach off of how I'd want to be told in that moment. And, you know, nobody's going to sit across me without getting a 2x4 upside the head.
Right. Yeah. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Pick your ass up, like your wife said, right?
Yep.
Finish crying.
We ain't got time for this.
Yep. And get off your ass and get going.
And let's go. But not be an asshole about it.
No, absolutely not. We could all be supportive of each other. I think that's one of the things that's come out of this whole, you know, pandemic, because it's like we're more separated, but we're more together. Like you and I would have never met. I met through somebody networking, and then they connect me with you. And I was talking to a guy earlier from, I forget where he is. He's in, he's an inventor in Connecticut, and then a guy in Vancouver, and a guy in Australia, and somebody in London. I mean, you know, so it's kind of brought us more together.
Agreed.
While we're pushed apart. And, you know, part of that's motivating each other and supporting each other and cheering each other on. What's that book? Gung Ho? Cheering each other on.
There's always something is said that tragedy brings everybody closer together. I mean, you know,
we're at our best when things are worst, right?
And you know, unfortunately, sometimes it takes a tragedy to happen to remind people that, hey, we're all in this fucking thing together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look what's happening with all the protests now.
Totally.
It's not like racism didn't exist before, but it boiled over with all the stress and everything's going on with this guy getting killed. And now our cities are burning down.
Agreed. And craziness. You know, it's how we have to get to that level to bring awareness to things sometimes blows me away.
It's a shame.
You know, at the same token, I don't blame all the craziness that's come with it as well, right? I mean, I don't understand how burning down somebody else's business, you know, proves any sort of point, but, you know, as part of
that. No, it doesn't. But it's just frustration, anger, and nowhere to put it, probably.
Well, and you know, one of my clients asked me very specifically, they're like, hey, you know, where are you at with all this? And I said, look, I'm only at one place. Being an entrepreneur knows nothing, right? It doesn't matter who you are, because success as an entrepreneur is 100% on you. It has nothing to do with any sort of outside of influences whatsoever. You either take action and win and succeed, or you sit on your thumbs and don't move. It doesn't give a shit who you are.
Right.
Right. And that's where my position is on everything. And I think if everybody would take life like they're a fucking entrepreneur and own their own, life would be a lot simpler. Play offense in your world. Quit playing defense and worrying about other fucking people's shit.
Yeah, it's true. And if we were more helpful to each other, if we were more givers gain type of thing, could you imagine if the whole world was about you, me trying to give you more than you were trying to give to me, and we were all doing that?
Right.
It would be abundance. We'd live in an abundant world. But
agreed.
Unfortunately, agreed. A lot of lack of trust. But I appreciate you coming on. I know spending time with me from your farm.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.